What up, what up? Welcome to Mind Your Hive's Beekeeping. I am your host, Greg Lehman, here with my beautiful wife, who is mocking me, is imitating me right now, is mouthing the words I'm saying. She knows I open up the same way every time.
Oh, I almost got you to mess up, but you didn't.
Kara Jo.
Hello, hello.
It is October 15th?
Maybe.
2023? I think it's the 15th. Kara and I are rocking. We're sitting outside.
Yeah, by the fire.
We got a fire pit.
We got goats in the background, chickens hanging out. Kima's here, our dog.
Yeah, Kima thinks we're playing fetch with her right now. Sorry, it's not happening. But yeah, we figured, you know what? It's like, it's fall. We're not going to have a lot more time to just be doing this. So Kara's like, I'll throw on a blanket. We'll record outside again.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'll end up being able to pick up the crackling of the fire, but it's pretty nice. The goats are fat and happy right now. They're right behind us. They've been bulking up for winter.
They're so fluffy and fat. It's so adorable.
And then they're getting more fur, which I guess in the springtime they like rub all this fur off of them, but they're growing like all this extra.
Oh, that's how they get rid of it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because Chad said there's certain points, our friend Chad who has goats, said there's certain points in his fence where they rub their winter coat off.
We haven't seen that yet.
So we're seeing them grow it in right now, though, and they're so adorable. Ah, they're the best. We love them.
And they're so snuggly right now. They're like fuzzy and fat and happy. And
but we've had so many new listeners. I mean, so many new listeners. It's kind of nuts. I don't know what in particular happened, but like all of a sudden we're just like double the amount of people that have been listening over the last couple episodes compared to the first 20 or so. It's pretty cool. So I thought it would make sense just to like do a little like, yo, what up?
Yo, what up?
Yo, what? So Greg and Kara Jo, we've got, we started out, 12 years ago or something like that? Kara Jo Skincare?
No, not 12. I think it was
11?
2014. 10? I had my first sale.
All right. So coming up on 10 years. And Kara Jo Skincare, Kara was making a lot of natural skincare herself. And then, you know, one day I just said, you know what, I'm going to start a company. And I built a website. And
well, my friend was like, I want to place an order. I'm tired of just getting your leftovers in Tupperware containers. She was like, it's clearing up my son's acne. She was like, and I want to buy it for Christmas. And I was like, looked into it. And I'm like, Greg, we got to buy bulk. We got to like buy stuff. Otherwise, it's going to cost her so much money. And you were like, yeah, so.
I was like, I got that. We got it.
Start a business. And I was like, what? And you're like, yeah. And then I woke up one morning and Greg was like, so I made you a website and you have an email address. And I was like, what's happening?
I'm like, I have designers working on a label, a logo. Like, yeah. But that was, yeah, 10, 11 years ago or whatever we just said. And from there,
I was using honey in my products, yeah, because as the base of a lot of the skincare. And I had always kind of like talked about wanting to be a beekeeper. I don't even know where that came from.
Well, you found out later that your grandfather had bees.
Yeah, it's like in my blood. But like, who didn't have bees back in the day?
It's very, very true. If you had a little bit of land, you probably had bees.
Yeah. And then one day Greg was like, so we're beekeeping, right? And I was like, okay, again, what are we doing?
And I found a class. Oh, no, we took...
I found the class. Yeah. We found the Delaware class or something. And then...
That was just a weekend thing.
Yeah, and then we found the one-year class.
And then it kind of started just growing from there where, you know, we had beehives. We were using the honey in our skincare products. And we started selling honey to people. Then we started selling honey more in bulk to a lot of breweries. Shout out the brewery we're drinking right now, East Branch Brewing Company. East Branch, really good dudes. They're in Downingtown, Pennsylvania.
We were there last night. Yeah,
we met some friends there last night.
Ate some really good food.
It's a great spot. It's really nice to have a respectable brewery in Downingtown again. This is called Mandarina. It's a Pilsner dry hopped with Mandarina Bavaria.
It's really good.
Which the head brewer, shout out Kevin McGovern at East Branch, we worked together at a different brewery back in the day. And I remember getting this hop, Mandarina Bavaria, to do a test batch for the Craft Brewers Conference, which was in Philadelphia at the time. And I'm about 95%. I haven't talked about it with Gov yet, But on about 95%, he was the one that developed the lager recipe utilizing Mandarina Bavaria, which now has turned into like a pretty cool popular hop.
Huh.
But when I went last night, when we got there and I saw they had Mandarina on tap, I just went like, oh, yeah, yeah. I already know that Gov knows how to use this hop properly. And then we bought a 4-pack home, and that's what we're drinking. So yeah. Shout out to East Branch. But anyway, what was this? Oh, we started selling honey in bulk to some select breweries that we're really tight with. And next thing you know, I'm president of the Montgomery County Beekeepers Association.
Like before that, just us being beekeepers got us in touch with nature a lot, and we started growing plants more, and I started growing medicinal plants more, just like fascinated with that there was like, I remember there were just like, we moved to this farm, we bought this like small farm or like small property that we turned into a farm, and there were like violets growing in the yard, and I'm like, there's like stuff that's medicinal growing in the yard, like medicines everywhere. And then I started putting that in the skincare.
It is interesting though that like the bees got us into this next level of something. It's such a good sound.
The ecosystem. We tapped into the ecosystem, yeah, which we're going to talk about later.
And then we start like rehabilitating this land that we were on, and we're doing all these things, and we're learning all these processes, and just, and we're seeing the results 2 years later, and all of a sudden, and it's just like, holy shit, this is all like.
And the bees are popping.
There's just like bigger thing.
Pollinating everything, and everything's booming, and it was rad. And then everything fell apart. You can listen to other episodes about that.
Then we had a hurricane take out that property.
Yeah. So now we're two properties different, and we're rebuilding again. And I'm like, we're doing really cool stuff. So we're going to talk about that later. Herb Corner. But
and we didn't know what to call our podcast. All right. So I think we've had it for a little over maybe 2 years now.
Well, and the reason the podcast even came out is because Greg and I would beekeep, and then we would crack a beer, and we would sit on the porch, and we would talk about what we just saw, and we would take bee notes, and we would talk about what's the plan? Like, oh shit, this just happened. What are we going to do about it?
And I was like, you know what? Maybe we should just like throw a GoPro up, and while we're just having these sessions talking about what we just experienced beekeeping and taking our notes and drinking a beer, maybe we just like throw it on YouTube. We were mentoring people, and we're like, man, there's such good talk happening. And then it went like, video is a whole another ball game. I was like, I don't have the computer space to do with video. And then, yeah, you know what? Why not? Let's just do it. And we started this podcast.
Has it been 2 years?
I think so, yeah. And more than 2 years. I think 2020, the end of 2020 was probably when we started.
We practiced a bunch, and I was really bad in the beginning. You're so bad at this. I'm like, oh.
We had one practice episode that we never released.
I think also I was drinking too many beers during the podcast.
It was 2020.
Oops.
But Kara's also, she's a meditation instructor. So I don't know.
Yeah,
she did the teacher's course yoga through Jefferson University
Hospital. Yeah. They have a mindfulness institute in Philly. So.
And mindfulness very much changed my life. Very much changed my life. And we think that, I think being in touch with bees have this hive mind. And Hive Mind, the podcast, was taken or something. But bees have this hive mind. And I think beekeepers need beekeepers to help them. Beekeepers need community to help them. It's tied in where the like selfless acts that bees show to each other every single minute of every single day for the betterment. Every decision is with the whole hive in mind.
And their biology evolves around.
It's rooted in their biology.
Yeah.
And I think people, humans, could learn from that. And there's so much ego and there's so much self that I thought, you know what, this makes sense. Or we thought, whatever. Mind your hives, mindfulness. Like, and also, when we're beekeeping, it's very meditative.
You have to be present.
You can't think of something else that's happening when you have 50,000 venomous, dagger-holding insects staring at
you. Dagger holding insects. Also, it's like, I remember, and I've talked about this before, but like, I was scared for a while beekeeping in the beginning. And I just, once I got over...
I can't say that I'm like not scared.
I mean, there's moments where you're like, oh shit, maybe I put on every piece of protective gear I can put on. And there's other times where it's like...
Oh, this is wonderful.
Yeah. Like,
I can't believe I didn't have a veil on.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but,
I mean, spring once, beekeeping is so chill where I'm just like, you're just like in one with these bees and they're so fat and happy and they're just have nectar flow going on and they're like excited. And it's very different than all of a sudden the end of summer going into fall. There's not nectar sources. There's not a flow. You're stealing these
and
bees.
What time are you going in? What's the weather that you're going in? Like all, there's so much like awareness around beekeeping, and also
you have to be present while you're doing it. You just have to be present.
Well, and like there I was I don't know, remember who I was I think I was telling like a non-beekeeper and they're like, oh my god, but because someone was like, what, you don't wear gloves? And I was like,
it was your students. You showed them some pictures like, of you beekeeping and they were like, Kara teaches high school, and
yeah, I was like,
showed these students,
they were like, you're the most badass teacher. No, yeah, but I think it was correct. Actually one of my colleagues, and he was like, you don't wear gloves? And I was like, well, sometimes I do. And I was like, sometimes I just walk in the bee yard and I'm like, I need to put gloves on. Or I'm not wearing gloves, and then I'm about to crack open a hive.
Get a little whiff, get a little smelly
or
smell,
just,
some bananas.
I don't know. There's just like a little, I don't know what it is, and you just pick it up and you're like, I think I'm going to put on some gloves right now.
Like, they're being a little rammy-tammy right now, or they give you, you're in touch, you're present, and you notice there's a difference right now than the last time. They seem a little ornery. Maybe I'll throw some gloves on. Maybe I'll throw a jacket on instead of just the hat, you know, like.
You usually put it on too late, though. You're like, I'm just going to wear a veil. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah, this is a terrible time to just wear a veil.
Shout out bee venom. Beekeepers have the longest lifespan, and I think bee venom is a part of that. So maybe every once in a while you got to get popped a few times. And then I go, okay, maybe that's enough. I'll go put on a jacket. And then maybe I get popped a few more times in the legs, and I'm like, maybe I'll go back and put on some pants.
Or you're me and you develop an allergy, and so you put stuff on way sooner than too late.
But yeah, so I mean, that's just kind of us in a nutshell. So yeah, mind your hives.
Yeah, welcome. If you're here, we're just talking about what we do. We're not claiming to be experts on anything. We just...
And you know what's interesting?
We have about 50 hives.
I was looking at our... Mind Your Hives on Instagram, and I was like, or maybe it's at Kara Jo Bee Farm on Instagram. I don't know. It's social media rules everything.
Maybe
around
it was Kara Jo Skincare on Instagram.
Yeah. And I realized I had like, check us out at Kara Jo Skincare, and then at Mind Your Hives, and then at Kara Jo Bee Farm. And I went, I wonder if people see Kara Jo Skincare and then see Mind Your Hives and think that we're like skincare centered around hives or something. Like, because when I hear
like
hives, a lot of times I
think, hives?
Yeah. And I just was like, huh, I wonder if people put this together, or if they like, mind your hives, what, you've like skin problems?
I never thought of that.
I think, whatever. So, what are we going to talk about this episode? This episode, we're going to talk about...
Let's talk about social media.
Some like what not to do's, or what we don't like, or things that we've heard over
we
the last
like
month
it.
Where
there's
we're like,
just,
what?
There's been people...
You're doing what?
You're doing it wrong.
You're like, doing it wrong. You're
come,
doing it wrong, Peter.
I'll come home and be like, oh my God, guess what this person told me.
Shout out Robin Williams and Hook.
Yeah.
Who is the wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings forever that has the segment like, come on, man. You know what I'm talking about?
What if I just pulled that name out right now? I'd be so awesome.
Come on, man. Not Randy Moss. Come on, man. So, yeah, we're going to talk about just, you know, some things that, what not to do, what we don't think you should do. Everybody has their own opinion on everything, so whatever. I dove into, so we have 30 hives in this apiary, right? And we have two main apiaries, but one of them, we have about 30 hives, and I dove into those 30 hives, and I have three or four hives that we've marked as top lines. We've developed, it makes it sound like we're more important than we are. We've tracked these queens, we've bred from certain queen lines, and we have these hives that I love, and they're kind of the top line. So I think we'll dive in a little bit in the episode. We'll dive into why we have these three that I've marked as top lines, and that's pretty cool. And yeah, we're just going to tell you what we're doing up in the fall. But we were talking about dumb social media.
It's good.
If you've been a long time listener, you realize I hate a lot of people.
I hate a lot of people.
It's just egos. There's just these egos, and me saying I don't like these people is ego. Like anytime you're like I, you're being egotistical by saying I. But people really annoy me, and it's the only time you're really seeing. Only times I'm seeing a lot of other beekeepers is they're posting shit on social media, and God, some of it is just so dumb. God, it drives me nuts. All right, so let's see what happened last month. There was this woman, and you know, my algorithm is like throwing me organic skincare or throwing me skincare and bees, and like I'm like, oh, this is cool. I look at this person's profile, I'm like, oh, skincare, bees, that's cool. And then I'm watching one of her videos, and she's like, nature heals us all. And nature, it's all about nature and nature, nature. And I'm like, all right, cool. You sound like, kind of like a jackass, but yeah, I agree. Like nature's got the heal for everything. And then she shows herself putting all of her honey in plastic jars. And I'm just like, don't talk about nature and how beautiful it is. And then use one
single-use plastic
jars. And then... against my better judgment, I just make a comment. I'm like, nature is so lovely. Let's use single-use plastic jars. And then I don't go back to it.
Was that from Mind Your Hives? I think it was Mind Your Hives, because I didn't see any of that stuff.
And then I don't look at it for a while. And next thing I open my Instagram, and there's like all these likes and comments, and all these people are like arguing about how this lady's a hypocrite. And then she just sends me a direct message. She's like, I appreciate you sending a message, but your negativity isn't allowed around here. I'm blocking you. Like, okay, lady. She blocked us.
Yeah, but you had a funny response.
She had like a long ass paragraph, and I just responded with like a thumbs up.
You love the thumbs up.
The ironic, sarcastic thumbs up. It's
the
so
thumbs
great.
Up that's actually a middle finger.
Oh, yeah. It's like the best middle finger. There was another person
on social media.
The woe is me guy. This dude, everything he posts is like, oh my, everything is so hard, woe is me. He's like, I just spend so much effort in trying to save these hives, and woe is me, it's beekeeping is so difficult, and I bought 5 queens at $50 each. I'm paraphrasing.
Wait, is this the guy that like the, I don't want to say his name out loud because I feel
the beginner that says he teaches.
Yeah, I had to stop following him. Oh, it's awful.
Me too. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, algorithm, look at this idiot.
I can't stand that guy.
And he's like, I caught 30 swarms, but this one swarm has given me problems, and I've replaced the queen 5 times, and I've spent $250 replacing her. And I'm immediately like,
what?
Wait, you caught 30 swarms and you're buying queens? What is wrong with you?
Also,
you need a mentor, dude. And then I keep reading on. He's like, I mentor other people. And I'm going, oh my God, this is the blind leading the blind.
No way he caught 30 swarms and bought queens.
Of course.
Is he lying, or is he just an idiot?
Is it woe is me, and I'm going to exaggerate everything and make people like, I don't know.
Even if you caught 3 swarms, there you go. There are your 3 queens. You don't need to buy any queens.
We haven't bought bees in, I don't know, 6 years.
Yeah.
Like, you don't buy bees unless you have 0 hives. Don't buy bees. Period. But if you're catching 30 swarms, you should be merging those. You should be figuring out who you like, who you don't like, merging, and never buy queens when you are catching swarms. It's ridiculous.
Or never buy queens. This just reminded me. I have a coworker. Her daughter started beekeeping, and she had 2 hives, and she had this quote unquote.
When you hear somebody go, "I have 2 hives," go like, "That's really great to hear." Like, you don't have 1 hive. You know what I mean? I'm glad when people go like, "Yes, I have 2." It's like, "All right, cool, good job."
Now I can't remember all the circumstance around this situation, but it doesn't really matter. And she had apparently like this amazing mentor, and her her hives appeared queenless. And she called her mentor, and her mentor was like, yeah, it doesn't look like you have any queens. Like, let's buy you $50 worth of queens. And so they got them shipped in, two queens or whatever.
Wait, they just, they were like, oh, yes. Yeah, you beginner.
Yeah.
You beginner sounds like you're right. You don't have a queen. There's no like,
no
okay, put
checking.
A frame
yes,
of eggs.
Exactly.
Oh.
So then they killed those queens. And
yeah, because when you put a queen in on right. a queen right hive, the bees go, yo, you're not our queen.
Well, and the thing is, so this is also the thing is like, she didn't have, I don't think she had any like viable eggs, but I was like, if this is your mentor, he should be giving you two frames.
Wait, she's two hives. This wasn't that recent.
That's what something. So, point is, I don't remember the circumstances surrounding it, but like, if you have this amazing mentor, like we've done this a billion times, like,
I'm like, yo, I'm not going to drive him to your house, but you can come over here. I'll give you a frame of eggs.
Yeah.
Go for it. And guess what? It all comes back to help you. Shout out the Russos.
Yeah.
Great mentees. Yeah. Because.
Good job, Tom.
The beginning of the season, Tom went, hey, man, my bees like all lived over winter. I don't want to have this many bees. Can I split them and give them to you? And I went, yeah, dog. That's how mentors should work. Mentees should work. Sick. And if you need bees, I got you.
So
it's a little back and forth.
So the point there is, if you ever have a queenless hive, and I'm sure a lot of you know this, but put fresh eggs in, wait 4 days, see if they're building a queen. If they're not, you got a queen. But like this mentor that she had was just like, let's spend money. I'm like, no.
Yeah. I get annoyed every
you're
time
doing
somebody
it wrong.
Says,
you're doing it wrong,
Peter. Well, now we're just rolling into you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, let's go. What's the next one?
Okay, I have an annoying kind of pet peeve.
What is it?
Open feeding.
Jesus.
I've been pretty open about this in the past, but recently had somebody that was like, yeah, you know, I just like all year long, I keep sugar water out for my bees and an open feeding thing. Like, I go, what?
I didn't know people did that anymore.
It's like, what? Wait, what? She's like, yeah, just to make sure they have food. I'm like, no, stop it. Okay, we don't feed in the spring, really at all.
Like if you have a package or like a new, like hive, you're gonna have to feed, help them like build out. But like
true that. And we're at the point where that's just not something that's happening.
Right,
I mean, we have a lot of bees building,
but
we're like very rarely in the springtime, very rarely feeding because it's the springtime. In our area, southeastern Pennsylvania, there's a nectar flow for the most part. They're good. But we're never feeding open feeding, meaning we're never putting a feeder in the middle of the yard so any insect, anything can go. It's like, why do you think that you should put like human shit out there for everything to have? Like, maybe insects shouldn't be eating sugar syrup.
Like, also, that's like just open.
It's bringing
invitation for spreading disease, any disease that any
yeah,
bees have.
Create a little super spreader area. Like they're going to interact with each other on plants and things. There's nothing you can do to stop that, but you don't need to have an open feeder. Also, guess what? If all your bees keep going to an open feeding situation, you don't have honey.
Right.
You have Sunny.
So, okay. So I was out.
Sugar, honey, Sunny.
So I was out of, class one day at a substitute. Oh no, I didn't have a substitute. The woman that I teach with had a substitute, and she comes in. And I was like, oh man, this is the person I already like knew.
I seem like angry this episode. I feel like
I don't know. I don't think you sound angry, but you did tell people that you hate everybody. But that's like an accurate depiction of you. So I don't know.
All right, sorry.
You don't hate everybody.
I don't. I love so many.
You're
a person.
So I walk in. This woman, by the way, I used to coach basketball. This woman used to be a ref, and she gave me a technical foul.
What?
Like,
yo, when I first met Kara, she was same thing, high school teacher, and she's like, yeah, I coach basketball, and I was like, oh man, I gotta go watch a game she coaches. Like, this could be bad. Pretty big sports person. Like, grew up playing a lot of sports.
Yeah, Craig's like an annoyingly good athlete.
What? Yeah, if you're playing against me. And I'm like, all right, fuck, I gotta go to one of Kara's games and see her coach. and I'm sitting in the stands.
I'm glad I didn't realize there was so much judgment behind the first time I invited you to one of my games.
The thing is, I think when you, the way somebody coaches tells you like so much about that person.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there watching the game, and I literally go, it's like the second quarter. Her team just like is on this little slide, and I go like, Kara, what are you doing? Call a timeout. And as I'm saying call a timeout, she hops off the bench, by the way, rocking like heels, like killing the coach's look, like pantsuit shit, but like looking money. She pops up, timeout. Like literally, I was like, Kara, what are you doing? Boom, timeout. And I went, ooh.
Then I got my claws in him.
Oh, like, wait, all right. Like, this is knowing when to call a timeout. That tells you a lot about somebody. And then, like, after the game, talking to her about the game and being like, ah, she's a good one. This is good.
And he also listened to all the parents talk smack about me on the bench. Not on the bleachers.
They didn't know who I am.
Yeah. I was like, I hate these parents.
And I gave it back to him a little bit. Because I had to.
Yeah.
They're like, she's telling my daughter to pass the ball. I'm like, your daughter just tried to dribble with two hands. She should be telling her to pass it.
Coached for about, I don't know.
10 or 11 years.
Yeah. And then I gave it up for beekeeping and planting plants.
Yeah.
Much better. More Zen opportunity. So this ref gave you a tea. She gave everybody a tea. But like, I think I.
What's that ref, that dude that looks like a turtle?
Do you want to know why I got the tea? I think it was her. I got like two technicals. So this was her or it was another one. And I was like asking something like, why'd you make that call? And she said something and I turned around and I'm like, well, you don't have to be a prick about it.
Prick is my favorite word.
And then they were like, oh, no. And I was like, well, you're an asshole.
Wait, was this before or after the famous family prick situation that you experienced? Oh, it was way before.
I didn't even know you.
Oh, dude, prick is such a good word.
This woman is the substitute. And
the referee.
The referee is the substitute. Like, there's two teachers in my classroom, and one teacher was out. And I walk in and she's already in my room. It's like 7:15. She's in there. The lights are on. And I was like, oh, can I get a minute?
Overachiever.
And she's just like intense. And I walk in and she was like, oh, I heard you're a beekeeper. People tell me you're a beekeeper. I have some questions for you. I'm like, oh, Jesus. So then she's talking about, she was like, okay. What is that bee stuff that people put in their hives that like make the, when they want to extract honey and then that makes them like the bees?
Or like bee gone.
Bee gone. She was like, oh, well, I'm going to put the bee gone down. I was like, I don't know. We don't use that. I was like, I just shake them and use a brush and put them in a whatever. And she was like, okay, well, I haven't collected any honey. I've been open feeding. And all like she's same thing. Like I've been open feeding since whenever, and now I'm gonna harvest. And I was like, okay, well, you don't have honey.
Like, yeah, you don't have honey. Period.
And she was like, what? I'm like, yeah, you've been feeding them. She was like, oh no. She kept not understanding, and she was like, oh no, I have honey. I went in the hives and I opened up the supers and they're full. And I'm like, yeah, but you've been feeding them, so you have feed, but you don't have honey.
And during a flow, the bees aren't gonna go to your open feeder for the most part.
Yeah, but this wasn't that long ago.
That's what I'm saying.
Definitely,
but in
taking
the,
it
after the flow, if you keep feeding, they're storing that feed. It's not honey. Period. It's not honey.
Or you don't know if it is.
And a lot of times people are like, well, you know, it's just honey for us. And I'm like,
Well, and that's what I said to her. I was like, listen, if you wanna.
Like, sure, use that for making simple syrup for cocktails.
If you want to harvest that, go ahead. But you just need to know that
at one point
that
when
might
we,
not be honey.
I mean, we've literally doubled the amount of hives we've had every year for the last like 4 or 5 years. And at one point, you know, we were feeding a lot because we needed them to build because we needed frames so badly. There was a point where I would mark which hives we fed and I would extract those frames and then either dump that. I think once or twice we fed it back to him, and once or twice I sold that sugar honey to a couple breweries. I actually gave it to them. I didn't even sell it. because they were like, we use sugar water for bottle conditioning, so it'd be cool to use like a sugar honey mix for bottle conditioning. I went, sweet, you're not like pretending this is honey, you're not using it in a way that it needs to be honey, you just want like a sugar source. This is a pretty cool sugar source, and I just gave it to them.
By the way, you should sell that to them.
Yeah,
because your time is worth it.
I mean, now I would just add that back into like a feed or something, but it's not something we really have to deal with ever.
All right, who's the next stupid person?
And I'm the one that hates everybody?
I'm a very compassionate person.
Okay, so...
If I do say so myself.
I recently resigned my position as president of the Beekeepers Association that we're a part of. We mentioned earlier this property we had/have that Hurricane Ida ruined and condemned building, and we were told we were getting this grant that would have helped us significantly financially. It didn't happen.
Yeah, we mentioned that last one. We didn't get the grant, but we're reapplying.
We didn't get the grant. There was apparently a clerical error, so it's nothing we can do. Yeah. It's other people have to do it, whatever. We're being told we're getting it next year, even though the government hasn't passed that bill.
I think they maybe did, but whatever. Yeah.
So it just made it like I have to work more. I've got to do other stuff. I don't have time to volunteer.
Most people that are president of Beekeepers Association are like 60 and retired.
Yeah, you're under on that.
Yeah.
70 plus for sure. But whatever. So I resigned and it's great. I'm still on the board. The person taking over, she's excellent. I'm excited about it. But
you were a really good president, by the way.
But one of the hardest things that I have not ever on this podcast brought up something that came across my desk as president. I very much like separation of church and state. I don't want to like do that.
But now let's talk about it.
There's a lot of, my point is I have a lot of stories very similar to this one that I don't talk about because again, separating church and state, but I had somebody reach out to me, not on that front, on just the Mind Your Hives front. And they were like, hey, I saw this video from this Texas bee person about like catching swarms in the springtime. So I put a Home Depot bucket out in this spot, and sure enough, in the spring, I caught a swarm. Now, this person reached out to me in September. They're like, so I had this swarm in this swarm trap all summer, spring and summer long, and now I'd like to take it down and put it in a hive.
And I need your help.
And I need you to do that for me.
Oh my God. Greg was reading this to me. I was like, what's happening?
And I'm like, okay, let me write this and then rewrite it like 50 times because it starts out with me being like, you're an idiot. Like, okay, don't say that. So I ended up just being like, in that correspondence, that person was like, somebody told me to make sure that I transfer the bees when they're in a flow. And I don't know what a flow is, but I was told to do it when it's in a flow. So hopefully we're in a flow. I'm like,
wow.
Nah, dog.
Just like, Google that.
Is that
even too hard of an understanding?
So I was like, hey, I don't know if you still have bees in that thing.
Like, are they alive?
It might not even be bees. It might be yellow jackets. And if you did have bees in it, they've just continuously swarmed all season long because they can only make 4 frames in that bucket. So they're not going to live in there. So you've just had bees continuously swarming if they're still there. And now's really a bad time for you to think you can start a colony. I said,
also because you probably can't save any of those. Somebody that has no idea what they're doing, they're not saving any.
And she's like, please put this in a beehive for me so I can be a beekeeper.
Yeah, you don't have any built out frames. You don't have anything.
Now, April 15th, if this happened, I'd go, sweet, you just got yourself a nuke. Let's put this in a hive. And then guess what? Here's a beekeeping class to take. Blah, 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 blah. Certainly not the case. So I said, hey, here's like 4 people that are in your area. They'd be happy to check the swarm out, I'm sure. Send them a picture or a video. And if they're willing to come out, make sure you give them the bees. And hopefully next year you take a class and maybe now you have a relationship with them. And maybe they'll help you have some bees or if they have a swarm or something in the future.
That's a good response.
Yeah, it was my 50th draft of that response.
Yeah, but you had enough awareness to write 50 drafts.
But the fact that it starts out with, like, I saw this Texas beekeeper that caught a swarm in a bucket.
Your rage is immediately.
Like, oh, she's the worst fake. Yeah.
Well, it's not helping the community. That's not helping the community. It's only helping yourself.
So Karen and I moved to this property we have now, and it's in Schwenksville, Pennsylvania. That probably tells you where it is just by the name. It's middle of nowhere.
My friend just, like, he was like, what's your address? And I gave it to him, and he looked it up on Google Maps. He's like, all I see is trees. All he sees is trees. He's like, yeah. Where are you? I'm like, I told you, I live in the woods.
Yeah, that's what we do. But like not long after we moved here, we have hives that you can see from the road. If you know what a beehive is, you'd be like, oh, those are beehives. And like this dude just like pulls into our driveway and knocks on the door.
Yeah, you were still in bed and I was like in my pajamas.
Yeah, so it was like before 11 a.m. on a Saturday. Yeah. And this dude knocks on the door and Kara's like, I got it. I'm like, all right. I'm like going to get a gun. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe. And he's like, hey, see that you're a beekeeper.
Oh, and
I wasn't there. You were, I mean, I was standing in the background.
It's been a minute since I thought about this. Yeah. And he was just like, yeah, so I had a swarm move in under my deck about a year ago. Right? And
Yeah.
He was like, I was wondering if they were like yours.
Your bees.
And you like wanted to like take care of the situation for me. And I was like, we moved in 2 weeks ago. Like they're not my bees. And yeah, so I don't, what was the stupid thing he said? But then he kept like, then he was like.
I was just remembering, it's crazy to me. I don't know, whatever. I'm
well, so
from Baltimore, like lived in the city a little bit. Somebody just coming to your house and knocking on your door is insane to me.
All right, so then
it's all
he
like
goes,
Sebastian Maniscalco, comedian Sebastian Maniscalco.
Oh, this
like,
is good.
I wish I could do a Sebastian impersonation. Just think Italian and go overboard with how you sound. But he has a whole thing with like back in the day, somebody would knock on your door, your mom would like answer the door and be like, get the Entenmann's out of the freezer, we've got company. And now somebody knocks on your door and you're like, put the lights down, turn the lights off, everybody duck down. Who's possibly doing this? That's how I felt. Like, what is this dude doing? Where do we live that it just makes sense a neighbor shows up at the door?
So he was kind of like aggressive to start, and I was like, what? And then I'm like, yeah, we got goats. And he was like, then he starts like just being like kind of like puffing his chest. He's like, I had a goat. And I was like, oh, okay. And he was like, yeah, I had a huge tire and I used to throw the tire and it was attached to a tire and it would just like eat everything and then it would eat stuff and then I would like throw this tire. And I was like, okay, dude, like, are we done here?
I'm sharpening a knife in the
I'm
background.
Like, I don't want to take care of your bees. I was like, look up Montgomery County Beekeepers Association, find somebody that does the swarms. They're not my bees.
Oh, this was a good one. Somebody reached out to me recently and said, I've had a hive living in the wall of my garage for a couple of years. I'm like, okay. Look, and you know, I've been for a couple of years, I've been thinking about becoming a beekeeper and these bees have been there. And I just, you know, finally, and again, this is like 2 weeks ago. This is probably October.
Yikes.
And they're like, and you know what I did? I decided to buy all the equipment and I'm ready to be a beekeeper. So will you come out to my house and get the bees out of my garage wall? And will you install them into my new flow hive that I bought?
Oh, no.
Because I heard, like, I got a flow hive. I heard it's really easy. And, like, now I can start with free bees. Like, these are free bees. And, like, I don't even want to respond to a flow hiver. The fact that she said, will you install them into my new flow hive?
Well, flow hives totally remove the beekeeper from the process.
I mean, it's just a super. So, like, you wouldn't be using the flow hive part of the flow hive with an install in September, October.
Right. It wouldn't even be a thing.
It wouldn't even be the flow hive. It would be, like, regular equipment at that point. But
that's the problem with
the
beginner.
It's more the mindset of it where I go, I know where your mind is that you
like
bought
easy.
A flow hive.
I'm just going to be
think
easy.
This is this. You think this is a tap the honey situation. Like, right. Oh, no, bad. Bad.
Slap that hand.
So, I'm not going to lie. I don't know if I even responded to that person. I think I was on my 60th draft, and I was like, it's still pretty bad.
Not doing it. So I was talking to a beekeeper, and I was at his house. I was just like getting some equipment and running some equipment. And he was like, oh, I want to talk to you. Which I always, like, I appreciate being a woman and people wanting to talk to me about beekeeping. I'm like, all right, yeah, like.
It is like a male-dominated.
Well, also, no not doubt. Even that it's male-dominated, just that, like.
Men aren't willing to ask women for
exactly.
help.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're the worst.
Not even willing, or just, like, willing to, like, understand that maybe I know, yeah, I guess that's the same thing. Like, I know something maybe you don't know. And
Kara's a damn good beekeeper.
Thanks.
And she learned everything she knows from me.
I did not everything, but I mean, we've you've been a really good mentor.
We've learned this all together. I was saying it as a joke because it's not true.
I don't know. You've been my mentor. You're a good mentor. So anyway, this guy was like, I was at his house and he like has these hives and he's like talking about things and. He was like, I don't know. This was in the middle. I don't know. It was, I think, the second time we extracted honey. So July.
Yeah, like July 4th-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't think I have a queen in two of my hives. I'm like, all right, well, you know, go in, check for eggs.
Yeah.
Do the thing.
Classic time that they may have superseded. So like there would be a break in eggs, but you could very well have a queen or have a virgin queen, or you know, like that's a time period when you hear somebody go like, I don't have eggs in October, you go, okay, they may have stopped laying,
right?
Most of our hives have basically stopped laying. If I went into the apiary we're sitting next to right now, if I went into any of those hives, I might find a handful of eggs. Most likely queen lays them, bees eat them. They're not even allowing them to continue. They're just going like, thanks for the protein, yo. Moving on. July, like great example of like, I don't think I have bees. Like, or I don't think I have a queen. Like, they just might have taken a little break.
Also, you know,
April, you get that text and it says, they say, hey, I don't think I have a queen. I don't have any eggs. You go, okay, there's a problem. You know what I mean? Like, this shouldn't be any situation. You should have eggs right now.
Well, so this guy was doing everything wrong because I don't even know if he went in his hive.
Wasn't he, like, scared to go in his hives?
Well, he goes, I don't really want to. So I'm, like, talking to him. I'm, like, trying to figure out, like, okay, why don't you think you have a queen? And he was like, well, I don't even think this dude knew. So if you're looking for a queen, you want to look for fresh eggs. And what fresh eggs look like, which he didn't even know, is like
that's a
rice, like a piece of rice.
Day one eggs, little piece of rice sticking straight out. Day two, they start to lean. Day three, it's laying on its side. Day four, it hatches into a larva.
There you go.
If you don't know that, shit.
Well, also, maybe that's why you're listening to this podcast, but at least you're trying. This guy wasn't.
If you're listening to this podcast, you know.
Now you know.
If you don't know, now you know.
Beekeeper. So he's like, I'm like telling him these things. He's like, oh, I didn't know this. I'm like, so glad that I'm having this conversation with you. I was like, okay. And I was like, all right, so all you got to do is like go and look for that. And he was like, yeah, I don't really like to like bother them. And I was like, all right, I mean, yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing if you're not like, sometimes you just like got to go in. If you like really care about these things, like you got to go in and make sure they're doing all right.
Not a hive mind.
So then he's like, all right, well, like, I mean, this conversation was like 40 minutes. And he goes, well, my wife, who's not a beekeeper, by the way, my wife is telling me.
My wife.
That I do have a queen because there's a lot of bees going in and out. I'm like, all right, well, that's not an indicator of whether you have a queen or not. I'm like,
would have been like, look over there. And then I just sort of ran away and got in the car and drove away.
I was like, you just need to go in your hives. I'm like, be a beekeeper. Yeah. Go in your hives and check for eggs. And if you have them, you have a queen. And if you don't, you have three hives that you know one of them is queen, right? So take eggs and put them in and check. But like, I had to say it over and over again to convince him to do it. And then insane. I came home, and I think that's where you're doing it wrong. We're just like, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you're doing it
you're
wrong.
You're doing it wrong, buddy.
All right, we're like 45 into this already.
I mean,
cruising.
I told you that this is going to, the dumb people are going to take up
Kara's
the majority
like,
of this conversation.
A lot about dumb people. And I was like,
are there any more dumb people we can talk about?
I'm sure I'll think of something. But all right, let's talk about how we've got a few baller top line.
And I think the
genetic
the,
lines.
And the purpose of, if you want to really like build a strong apiary, you want to keep track of your lines to know like who are your strong queens, how are they surviving, how are they performing. So keeping notes. And if it's October, so if you haven't done that, like maybe make that your goal in the spring. And
yeah.
If you have been doing that, now's the time to reflect on, okay, what are my notes?
All right. So I'm going to give a quick summary of just like we start testing for mites in June, July. We treat when we need to treat when we have over 2%. So like, 6 mites showing up in a 300 B sample. If you're not familiar with what we're talking about varroa mites. We're talking about testing. We use the dish soap method. Scientificbeekeeping.com is where you can find all that information. We don't need to be that guy. That guy is Randy Oliver. Go check him out. We used Dawn dish soap, blah, blah, blah. So, 11, and I'm just talking about this apiary we're sitting in. 11 of the 30 hives we needed to treat. So a third of the hives, basically, we needed to treat with when we treated with formic in August. Pretty sweet. The previous year, it was about 2/3 that we had to treat. This year, it was 1/3 that we had to treat in August. That's a very nice, that's really nice.
Yeah, that's great.
So then we test once a month. So then in September, so now there are, we've treated 11 hives. 9 of the 11 that we had already treated tested below 2% now in September. So proving the formic treatment we gave them in August very much on almost 90% of the hives worked. Pretty sweet. The two, we then did an oxalic vaporization, but whatever. We don't need to talk about that. Of the 19 hives that in August did not test above the threshold for mites, 9 of those did test higher than the threshold in September. So all in, 20 of 30 hives, we did test over 6 mites in a 300 sample, and we treated in either August or September. So then you got 10 hives, right? So a third of the hives, 10 of the 30 hives, never tested above 2%. Okay, so right then and there, those are the golden children, right? So now I'm looking just at those 10 hives. Now there's plenty of reasons why that might happen. So, okay, are they low mites because they were queenless? We recently split them. They swarmed. They had a natural brood break. I don't know.
Are they mite maulers and they chew the legs off the mites?
Did we merge them? But I mean, there could be reasons why they're appearing to be really good at mite control.
Oh, okay.
But in fact, it's just something that happened, essentially a brood break happened that is giving us a false sense of security. Whew, I got smoke blowing in my face right now.
Yeah, close your eyes.
Close my eyes. But when smoke blows, it's like warmth, which is kind of nice. I love sitting by a fire. So, all right. Now I'm looking at, I dive in and I go, okay, hive A, B, C, they were recently split. So yeah, it makes sense they have low mites. I'm not going to count them as possible like top lines. There's a reason. Yeah. So, okay. So now I'm going, all right, I got like, you know, 6 or 7 hives that are might look good. Let me look at honey production. So I start looking at honey production. I just take little notes on who is doing great. I then look at those hives that had decent honey production or good, decent to great honey production this year. And I then look at them last year and I go, okay, what was their mite situation last year? What was their honey situation last year? Am I seeing any trends? And from that, just looking at my notes and thinking about it and writing some little things down, 3 of those 10 hives I have now marked as top line, like in my notes, it's fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji. One of them has four emojis, one of them has three, and one of them has two. That's my note system.
I like it. So, simple.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to just give you a rundown. Hive 12 on, in this apiary, right? All, stayed below threshold all year long, like I mentioned. This year, we got 80 pounds of honey. Pretty good. We about 100 pounds is like the average from like good honey hives that we have. So like it's not like a crazy bounty, but it's 80 pounds of honey. That's respectable. And maybe they built some frames and that's what takes away from it. So like 80 pounds, yo, we're good. I like that. I like that. Then I check out the notes a little bit more. They swarm cells. So when we decided to split the original hives, those swarm cells came really late. I like that a lot.
Yeah, because that keeps your population high.
Easier to manage. They're not early swarmers. They bump up the population during the flow. Like all
they right. got a lot of workers bringing in honey.
I like this, so I dig a little deeper. Guess what? The mom queen, the grandma, the previous mom.
Can I guess her? Am I going to guess her right?
I don't have it written here.
Oh, man.
Last year marked top line. So oh, the okay. mom queen was listed as top line. Hell yeah. Three stars. Three fire emojis.
Ooh, what, is that the highest or four is the highest?
Four is the highest. Because okay. 80 pounds of honey like oh, didn't gotcha. Blow me out okay. of the water, but that's awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, come on. It's like 6 gallons of honey. 7 gallons of honey. All right, so moving on. Next one. And this is the two emoji, John. So hive 15. Hive 15... we refer to as Michelle Palmer. So Michael Palmer, what's the apiary, his apiary in Vermont called?
Oh, I can't.
I feel like
that.
A jerk. Michael Palmer, like.
I can look it up.
He's so great. Beekeeper in Vermont, like cutting edge, has been a part of like the testing. What we do is very much how Michael Palmer raised his bees, and now he just has these lines of bees that are badass. So shout out our buddy Scott. Scott Famous is like, hey, I got these special Michael Palmer queens. Do you want to try one and test it out? It's referred to as a Palmer P2. So look at that list. Okay, this is the second generation of that line. The mother had a high mite load, but came out a winner, very unaffected, looked really good. We got 88 pounds of honey. They never tested over. Over threshold, they had some early swarm cells, but they were absolutely booming coming out of winter. All right, that seems like it came from a proven genetic line. It's proved itself. Its previous queen had high mite load, but this new one did not. They kept it under threshold. We're gonna go ahead and count that as like that's a two star. That's a two emoji. We loved it. Sweet. This is my favorite one. This is the four banger. So I have 21 out of this line. So this is a pole line queen. So probably 5 years ago, got a queen cell that came through this. I want to say it's like a USDA program, but pole line, like they developed these queens that have proven genetics to be very hygienic. They fight mites really well. Okay, like right off the bat, I know that this genetic line came from some baller stock. We got 112 pounds of honey from this line last year. All right, we're now 12% over our average. 112 pounds, like I'm liking what I'm seeing already. This year, 134 pounds of honey.
What?
Like, okay, now we're really talking. This is over 30% higher than average. Like, okay, we're talking good. We know that they haven't tested over the mite threshold. All right. Keep diving. Late spring split. All right, they held on. They didn't swarm early. Hell yeah. So I'm like, you know what? I want to dig even deeper into this. Turns out, for four straight years, these girls have been testing below threshold. They've had over 100 pounds of honey every year. And, I'm sorry. Over 4 years, every one of them had over 80 pounds of honey. The last 2 years, over 100 pounds of honey. Each one of the last 4 years, single-digit mites, never crossed into the double-digit mark.
Wow.
Boom.
Yeah, that's awesome.
4-star blue chip recruit.
Yeah.
And we've had it going for 4 years. So it's so genetically off of what it started, but it's the wherever they've been, the natural genetics in our area has continued, and it's badass.
It's that's super badass.
Hell yeah. So guess what? All right. So then I'm going to take that information. I mark them down and I write top line in the notes and blah, blah, blah. Next year, when we're building our early queen castles, those are the four hives that yes. next year in this apiary I will use to build the queen castle. So when they show swarm cells, I'll cut one of those swarm cells out. I'll put it in a queen castle with some bees, and I'll try to raise more queens than just one out of those hives. Also, like, keep special eye on them. Make sure they're getting a little extra treatment if they need to. Like, we want to make sure those genetic lines continue. That's what we do. That is our mentality right there. It's find the good ones and grow them.
I think that was good also because it's like, okay, what do you look for? These are the elements that you look for. Also, like, what are the notes that you're keeping?
And some people are like, we like high mite loads because that shows that if the bees survived, they survived, like they didn't succumb to disease. I disagree. I think that's a way of looking at it. But when you look at it as that way, you're also kind of saying you're fine with your non-native European honeybees in the United States. You're fine that they're going to vector disease to other insects, other native pollinators. So yes, your bees survived and your bees don't succumb to disease, but it's not about your bees. It's about what they're doing to the environment around them. I'm not going to get on my pedestal because it's been a few episodes where I said this.
Well, mind your hives, like be part of
mind
the
mind your hives
overall.
Exactly.
Well, also, I mean,
so we go for low mite loads.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but like I think that we've had like a couple hives that have had high mite loads that have survived that like haven't performed well like after that.
Yeah, and I didn't kill them. I said, okay, they had high mite loads, they survived. I'm going to look at them next year, and then I've seen they didn't do well because they're diseased. So yeah, they survived, but they limped out of that winter or they limped into that spring. And then they were always fighting the fight.
Yeah, because they're sick.
Exactly. Like, yeah, they held on to their last breath longer than other ones. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah. So is it time for Herb Corner?
I think we can totally get into Herb Corner.
Okay, so... Yeah.
Hit us with some good Herb Corner music, people.
Yeah, I was just going to say, can we, what is the,
I have one more asshole to talk about.
Oh, we want to circle back?
I'm going to circle back to one more asshole. I can't believe I forgot this person.
The asshole?
So, all right. You don't hear us going, hey, please rate us, please review, please whatever. And the other day, Kara's like, hey, we've got a huge bump of listeners, like, you know, what? Any reviews? And I went, oh, I don't look at them.
Yeah, Craig's like, I don't know. I don't want to look because you can't see it. And I was like, how can I see
it? So I open up Apple Podcasts or whatever Apple calls it now. And I see, I'm like, oh, yeah, we have like, I don't know, 10 new reviews. They're all 5 stars, except for one is 1 star. Yeah. So I look. The person's username is Illinois Quilter 918. So, hey,
sounds
Quilter
like an open
in,
feeder.
Hey, Quilter in Illinois that was born on September 18th. You can go.
Oh, calm down. Who cares about this bad review? It doesn't matter.
Her review was, this episode didn't talk about beekeeping.
Well, it was our episode about how we got kicked out of our house and we had to like... She didn't listen to the whole thing because it was very much about how we had to move bees on a dime in the middle of the summer. Very inopportune. And what do you do and how do you do it? But it was also surrounded by a lot of drama in our lives.
Also, our whole like description of the podcast is like a podcast about more than just beekeeping by beekeeper. Like we don't only have to talk about the only two bad reviews we have. One dude was like, they drink beer and they talk too much.
Wait, no, he goes, like, I don't feel like listening to this happy couple drinking beer. Okay. We're like, okay, don't listen.
One star. And then this person, this one episode didn't talk about beekeeping. This one star. Illinois Quilts are 918. Go to hell.
Okay. Go away. Also, who cares?
Also, who cares? About and you. Kara, I haven't looked since. I'm not going to.
Oh, I haven't seen it at all. But
thank you to all the people that hooked us up with a five star review.
Thanks for actually putting reviews in. That's like really nice. That takes people. Yeah,
you can do it
time.
On Spotify now. We're like we only can see our Spotify followers, which like that following has grown a ton. Who knows what Apple is? But like, hey, if you feel like giving us a review to like counter Illinois Quilter, that'd be cool. But also, I don't care. Whatever.
So here's something fun. So, okay, this episode is brought to you by Kara Jo Skincare.
Oh, yeah. You listen this far, guess what? You about to get a treat.
Yeah. So we have some new fall, winter skincare coming in, and I've got a whole page, winter skincare, you know.
When the seasons,
change. Like, hydration changes, you need new skincare. So if you want to go, this discount is available until whenever our next podcast airs. And it's 15% off your order. And you use promo code MindYourHives and you get 15% off. And we have like honeybee skincare and we have honey and we have hot honey. So check it out. We ship everywhere. Yeah, we ship everywhere. All right. So herb corner. I'm not going to talk about a specific herb tonight. I want to talk about just the season is changing. And for so many years, I used to rip up my garden and pull all of the plants out and make it all nice and maybe lay some mulch down, which is great, right? If you're going to like lay some stuff down to feed the soil. But I want to encourage you this year to not rip anything out. I mean, we're ripping some stuff out. Like I planted some milk thistle because I'm a crazy person and I'm like, I'm going to make milk thistle medicine, which is like totally complicated. And
it was a cool plant though.
It was a cool plant and I'm going to just for funsies.
But like, we had to rip that out to get garlic in the ground.
That's what I'm saying. So sometimes you have to like rip some stuff up to put other stuff in. So that's not what I'm talking about. But like we have another bed where there's tomatoes and lemongrass and peppers. And I'm going to leave that all in the ground. And I'm going to harvest what needs to be harvested and then leave it in the ground. And there's a lot of benefits to leaving your garden intact. And I think our society is so much like...
And not just your garden too, just like surrounding yards where you get a bunch of goldenrod growing, right? Or
everything. Yeah, aster, everything. Yeah. Everything that's there, echinacea still
let
probably.
Let it dry. Let it just do its thing. It just feeds the soil. It is home for a bunch of insects.
Yeah, so the birds can come and the birds can... there might still be berries growing or seeds growing. Beneficial insects. So you keeping your garden and your plants intact now can help secure a better spring for you. So like it's giving ladybugs a home. It's giving maybe like lacewings a home, like a lot of beneficial insects that need to maybe burrow down into the stems or underneath fallen branches or in the dirt.
And all that, all the roots in the dirt decompose, they feed the mycelium. The mycelium then transfers all the nutrients all over the place and it's just good for everything.
Yeah. So native bees also that you're giving a home, like think about like your garden can be a home for native bees, for insects, a food source for bees, and then, like Greg said, a food source for mycelium. So there's like this fungi network growing. So our front yard was covered in, what is it called?
English ivy. Yeah.
And we tarped the whole entire front yard, well, a strip of it that had this problem. And I've been like taking off the tarp and looking, and you can even like it's been tarped all summer long, and there's you can see the mycelium network, all of this, these white kind of like legs all over the place, and it's growing.
It's decomposing.
It's decomposing.
Oh, it's so awesome.
Yeah. So what it's doing is it's the plants through photosynthesis, like bring in sugar and, but they can't turn that into food. So the mycelium breaks it down, turns it into food, and then makes things like water and nutrients bioavailable to plants. So if at the least, let's say you're like totally...
Also, leave the leaves on the ground.
If you're totally like, I can't leave... Hopefully someday you'll get to this point, but let's say you're like, I can't leave everything in
my
garden.
It's not pretty enough.
Yeah, because unfortunately that's...
Maybe you have a homeowners association that's like, you have to get rid of all your leaves and your dead plants. You should move away. But if you can't move away...
At least leave the roots in the soil because
chop
you're giving
at
the soil.
Don't rip them out of the soil.
Yeah, don't rip them out of the soil. You're giving the mycelium.
Yeah, a lot of nitrogen
to just help keep the soil alive during the winter. But I just want to really start spreading the word that keep everything in there because then you're keeping the ecosystem going. Over winter, and you're feeding and you're housing different organisms that are trying to survive over the winter. And I have this whole front yard, right? And I'm like, okay, I want it to be low maintenance. I want to be able to like have these plants that compete with these invasive plants, English ivy, grapevine. Outcompete, yeah. So I've been just kind of like reading and it's been agonizing. Like, what am I going to do? I just want to do the right thing. And first of all, just like be okay with failing and trying again and just doing your thing. But
they're invasive species we're fighting against. Like, it's an uphill battle, no doubt about it.
Yeah. So what I've done and what I'm going to do is I'm removing the tarp, I'm removing the ground ivy, which I'm seeing like the soil be richer from it just kind of decomposing.
The soil feels nice.
It feels
looks nice.
Good.
It smells nice. Like there's a lot of nutrients in that soil for sure.
And also I waited until a rainfall, like every weekend down, like where we're at, it's been beautiful during the week and then weekend rain. So I waited till after a rainfall to pull up the roots because roots are easier to pull up after rain.
It's funny how you're like, don't pull up your roots. And you're like, let me tell you about how I pulled up roots.
Well, invasive roots. And I'm going to, I listened to like a webinar and they were like, put down compost and put down mulch, which is going to help feed the soil, but it's also going to help retain moisture and block.
Act as a barrier.
Yeah. Block in the spring. So it's better to do things in the fall because you're giving all of your plants like an opportunity to
like get their, yeah,
feet
dig
in
a
ground.
Little bit, get their feet in the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been transferring native plants into the front yard and then I'm going to put all this like mulch compost down. But also I bought a bunch of native seeds from prairiemoon.com. And like, honestly, if you can get seeds locally, get it, but like
it's better. Those plants are already adapted locally.
But yeah. I don't have a place I that I'm aware of that I can get seeds. I can get a lot of native plants locally, but seeds I can't. So I got a bunch of native seeds and I'm going to plant them out front, put the mulch down, and it's going to take some obviously work. I'm going to have to like pull up some poison ivy and pull up some English ivy, but that is kind of what I'm doing. So like plant in the fall also and pull up invasives in the fall and then leave your gardens intact for the birds and the bees and the bugs and the
it'll make next year
the soil.
Easier where you don't need to put as much compost down.
Yes.
In the spring you're creating your own compost, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, you're doing a solid to your garden and the ecosystem. So
I like that.
Yeah, me too. Like, do that.
Wait, I forgot to bring this up.
Is it another dumb person?
No. It's the opposite.
Oh.
These are very smart people.
Oh,
so,
that's why we're smart people.
So I listen. I love stand-up comedy.
Oh, my God. This is a ridiculous story. This happened today.
This happened like an hour ago. I love stand-up comedy. Really good friend of mine, John Slack, used to have a very funny podcast. He hasn't done it in a while, but does comedy in New York, works at the comedy club The Stand in New York. So he had a kid like a year ago, but before he had a kid, I would go hang out in New York all the time, and I'd go to The Stand, and I got to see all these unbelievable shows. Like, just, we've talked about it before. Shout out Will Silvins, Dave Chappelle, whatever. So I kind of became friends with this dude, Nate Marshall, like, you know, mutual friendship. And then I would see him around. I saw
What's his last name?
Marshall. Nate Marshall.
Oh, Nate Marshall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Saw him in Vegas at this one thing I went to with John for the Skankfest in Vegas comedy festival. Hung out with him there. He's a good Philly dude. He has a podcast called PITM. It stands for Panties in the Mouth. If you're into comedy, you should listen to it. I'm listening to their newest episode. It's him, this dude Lamar Lee, both Philly boys, and this dude Andy Malafarina. And he's like, Andy's like, yeah, who's that Philly dude at The Stand? That guy's awesome. They're like, yeah, John, like John Slack, he's great. They're talking about him, and then Nate goes, yo, you know Greg? And Lamar's like, Lamar's basically like, see that weirdo with the pigtails? He's like, yeah, he's that tall guy with the blonde hair. And he's like, yo, Greg has goats. We've got to go hang out with the goats. And I'm like, wait, what? They're talking about Carriage of Bee Farm right now.
That had to be such a crazy experience.
And it was just fun. That was just fun. And it's funny because we'll bring up people or like listeners or friends of ours on the podcast, and they're always like, oh my God, I was listening. And then you said my name. And I was like, what is happening? I was like, wait, this just happened to me. But yo, it's going to be great. We're going to get the PITM boys to play with some goats and to hang out. And we're like 8 minutes from Soul Joel's, which is a comedy club in Pottstown that we started going to in 2020 during the pandemic. And like, we've seen,
because they had it out, they had an outdoor, they turned their comedy into an outdoor comedy club.
BYO chair, BYO booze thing. And I know a lot of New York, these are all New York guys now. I know a lot of them come down and go to shows there. I'm like, dude, next time you're at Soul Joel's, got to come over first and play with the goats.
And beekeep. I mean, if it's in the right season.
And this links to my very last thing I'm going to say. Last time we were about to go to a show at Soul Joel's, we were about to see OG Keith Robinson, Philly comic, performing like his new hour that he's about to record. I was so pumped. He's just like an old head he's so funny. And we're an hour from leaving. This pretty gnarly storms are going on, and we had this tree fall and wipe out 5 of our hives.
Yeah, it was devastating.
It was brutal. And literally like, okay, maybe we can get this taken care of and then we can get over to Soul Joel's still. Like, we've like an hour.
No.
No, it was just...
It was bad.
It was so...
If you go on, I think Carriage of Bee Farm, there's like some videos of it maybe. Or maybe we'll put it on... We should put it on Mind Your Hives now.
Yeah.
And the thing is the video doesn't even show how bad it was. Like,
it was literally okay. The only thing I can compare it to is like Saving Private Ryan, right? Like war movies, like shock grenade or mine blows up and there's just like fog and haze everywhere, and that loud ringing noise is in everybody's ears, and there's smoke and nobody can see anything, and they're like grabbing their friends and they're like, let's go, grabbing their friend and pulling them to safety, but pull them, they don't have legs.
Yeah,
their guts are hanging out. Yes. That was the scene.
It was, these hives, it was just really bad,
crushed. It was, and these bees were just like,
oh, I mean, it wasn't squished. Even oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. And as we kept digging, it kept getting worse, and I was just like pulling up frames and handing them to Greg, and like it was so bad. And then he had to do, the next day, we did our best to put the hives back together, but like,
and it's like raining and stuff. So, I mean, it's not, we're just like trying to kind of put the bees back so they're not getting wet.
And he had to do like triage on the frames, because these frames, there was like brood on the frames, and you don't want to totally devastate the hive and like take away all their wax and all their food.
First week of September.
Oh, like, so
such
bad.
Bad timing.
It was really sad.
I figured
and
out.
And we lost a lot of hardware. Things were.
Yeah. I figured out it cost us about $1,000.
Yeah.
In like boxes, you know, whatever, whatever.
Our and hive then stand got just like crushed.
Those hives had some fall. We were hoping for some fall honey. We certainly weren't pulling any fall honey from them.
I think we also didn't get fall honey because we had to move our hives in July.
And
so
nobody in our area got fall honey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's too much rain.
Oh, there's too much rain. They ate it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to go see Keith Robinson, so we wasted like $50 on those tickets. So
it was $1,050.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I'll reach out to Soul Joel and be like, yo, dude, I missed the last show. But maybe if I can like hook you up with some honey, you can throw us some tickets.
It's worth a shot.
Or like, you know, hey, Nate and Lemaire, they're coming down for a show. You know, well, maybe we can hook something up. But that was
We'll get some funny people on this podcast.
So in things not to do, don't put your hives under dying ash trees.
Well, we also, I mean, we didn't have the opportunity. If you rewind and watch the other episode, or listen to the other episode.
Our terrible cheating landlord.
Yeah, we didn't. We had to scramble and put an apiary where we really want to. Yeah. So anyway, mind your hives. Carajo Skincare, use the discount code, 15% off.
15, that's no joke.
Yeah. And we
ship everywhere. We ship, I mean, literally, we got some regulars out in California.
Yeah, some things that maybe you want to look at are the daily 2-in-1 cleanser mask, which is a honey, turmeric, lemon.
Sorry to all of our Australia and other listeners. Australia is rolls pretty deep with us, but
we don't do international shipping.
We're not shipping to Australia, sorry.
There's a Restore and Protect, which is like a propolis balm, which is like really nice.
So
it's
good
like
on your face. Wax.
Yeah, it's like, I really luxurious. Highly recommend it. And then I'm making right now our winter scrubs. If you go online and you don't see them, just like wait a couple days and they should be up there. There's like a lemongrass scrub and a warm vanilla scrub. They're just like body scrubs that are like really hydrating. Our hot honey is so good.
The bomb.
I know we're biased, but it's really, really good.
Garlic hot honey. It's great.
Yeah. So
I mean, we
check
even
it
have
out.
Like beeswax wraps right now.
We do
all
have
kinds
beeswax
of
wraps.
So good.
We have some good candles coming out.
I don't think, are we shipping candles? I don't think we didn't put those.
Just
on. We're,
kidding.
Yeah,
never
we're not
mind.
Shipping them.
Forget that.
It's for like in-person farmers market type stuff.
We'll ship the little candles like the owls and the
skeps.
Oh,
yeah, we do. So. Yeah,
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 we
true
got some
that.
Candles that you can buy.
But as we always say, if you've listened this far,
you are a rock star.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
you guys
so much
rule.
For your support. Yeah.
Everybody's great. Hit us with questions. mindyourhives@gmail.com. I swear I don't hate all of you.
Greg likes you guys.
Yeah. And the people that have been reaching out and asking questions and we've been interacting with, like, you're great. It's so fun to interact with you and learn your techniques in different areas of the country and all that fun stuff. I'm not going to ramble on like I always do. You guys rule. It's dark. I can't see what button I'm pressing. I hope it's the right one. Peace. Ba-dum-ba-da-da-ba-da-ba.